Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our phone lines here are 221-1402, and I will continue to say that because I've had people calling right saying that I don't say that enough and they're not sure what number to call. You can also hear us on 1670 if 1400 is not strong enough for you. It's got 10,000 watts. You can also call us at 1-800-521-1989. It's Carl and the Bot, but I'm here by myself today, except for Frosty. Good morning, Frost.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. It was kind of a little bit weird when you rolled in here and I didn't see Linda.
I know. You know, late rehearsals last night. But I tell you what a spectacular, even, you know, the first big rehearsal, you know, in the Cascade, what a great sound that is. And working out lighting and all that. And I, you know, I go around, I pick up sandwiches. And speaking of that, thanks Babalu for delivering all the sandwiches last night. That was, as usual, your great stuff. Okay. You know, like I said, you know, Linda and I, we have a different show today. We're going to be talking about medicinal marijuana and the stores that are growing it right here. Or, I'm sorry, not growing it, but selling it right here in River City. I was quite surprised, and I'm talking to the gents. We're going to get to them after the break. But one of the things I want to talk about, too, you know, is kind of throw these out, is open line here, is Arlen Specter. You know, you all know what I think of Arlen Specter. You know, here's a guy that changes parties in midstream because he knows he's not going to win the nomination from his own party to run, so he switches over to the Democrats to get a better shot at it, right? You know, that's low. That's snake-like. You know, it just shows a complete lack of a moral compass there because, as he said, I can't get reelected in my own party, so I'm going to just switch parties and then and see what I can get that way. And, of course, you know, President Obama hugged him, kissed him on the cheek, and I saw Nancy Pelosi, I'm not sure, sitting in his lap. He said Wednesday he thinks people who have been angrily disrupting town hall meetings and overhauling the healthcare system are not necessarily representative of America, but should be heard. Well, you know, thanks, Arlen. Thanks for letting us be heard. Thanks for people that have a few questions about this new 1,100-page health plan have something to say. I mean, this is America still. You know, this statement's from a man, like I said, who switched parties because he was losing in his own party. And Senator Specter, according to, I think, 80% of Americans, in his polls I see, depending on which polls, and there's so many and who takes it, says that most of them seem to be happy with their health care. You know, it's not perfect, but, you know, they like what they've got. And there's many questions, you know, so that's why health care, the proposal, did not get out of Congress. It didn't get out of the Senate or the House. And by the way, it didn't get out of the House and the Senate because of the Republicans, because the Democrats, guess what? They have the votes to push it out of there if they want to. They chose not to. Why? Because there's a lot of questions. You know, one of the reasons people are upset is something I saw the other day in the paper. And they talked about the high price of protecting kids. They're talking about after millions of toys were pulled from shelves because of lead contamination. Remember that? You know, they're coming in from China and kids were getting sick. So Congress enacted a law requiring that many toys be tested for toxins. Now, what that has caused is that the House Small Business Subcommittee on Investigations and Oversight says that the law empowers the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Okay, this is a commission of non-elected people. It enables them to enact common sense rules to make it easier for small businesses to show that their products are safe. Unfortunately, though, because of the rules that small businesses are now going to be going out of money because, as one woman told Congress, that testing batches for her stuffed giraffes would raise the price from each from $15 to more than $200 because of the cost of testing. But here's the most important thing, my friends. What the congressman said is, while protecting kids from contaminated products is our top priority, to say that every home business in the country has to ship its products for testing at the cost of tens of thousands of dollars was not the intent of the law. That's what people are upset about. What, you know, what they wrote and the result of what they wrote has had a huge impact on us. And so now we're being pushed to pass a health care plan without having proper debate on it. That's the problem, my friends. It's not fixing health care. It's how we're going to do it. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. You know, it's just, you know, we're going to have a couple of days devoted to health care. We're going to get proponents for the changes and maybe a couple that see the other ways of doing this. This, you know, the thing is that it's too important. It's too huge. It's too huge to pass without a lot of people getting the words in. Now, today, there's been changes in society, as everybody knows. And you got the governor talking about legalizing marijuana, and you have the Attorney General of the United States says, hey, look, we're not going to go against states' laws, that if state laws says you can use marijuana and sell it, we're not going to go after them, at least at a small level, for medicinal. As long as it goes along with the state laws, they're not going to touch it. But that can change any time. So, you know, but one thing I've noticed around town, and maybe you have too, is that there's been a sudden upgrowth in dispensaries for marijuana. So I went down to one of them and met the owners. And Walter Carney is here to talk. Good morning, Walter. And he brought, I think, either an employee or my partner, Alan Perry. And they're from the River Valley Collective. It's down there right next to the Cascade Theater.
Yes, sir.
So when you're there waiting in line for or to go in there for Linda's tickets, you can just kind of check them out, I guess. Walter, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Now, tell us a little bit about you. You're not somebody that's just kind of like come in here from the Bay Area, are you?
No, I've been around the area for quite a while. Did other businesses, and because of the economic situation, we've, you know, opened up other avenues.
Okay. This is not something that everybody gets into, obviously.
No, I would imagine not. You know, I've been an advocate for many years of the legalization, but, you know, views are changing, and while they're changing in our favor, we are advocates of doing it correctly, coming into the market in a slow pace, not to overwhelm people, and doing it correctly as best that we can.
Okay, now, obviously it takes, you can't just come down and rent a store and open up a storefront and say, hey, we're selling medicinal marijuana here. How do you start this whole process?
You know,
because you obviously have to go through our city and county here.
Oh, absolutely. You know, just like any other business, we are a legal entity. There are several protocols that the state of California has put into place, and we are trying desperately to follow every one of them. There are quite a few people out there that are not. It is not something that you can just go down to the city, get a business license, and start doing your thing. You actually need to do your research. You need to open up some type of corporation. You need to be a nonprofit organization to do so. There are quite a bit of loopholes to do it, and it is, you know, at times quite expensive. It is not something that your local corner market a few years ago is going to be able to do.
Okay, because there's a lot of hoops you have to jump through here.
Absolutely, sir.
Okay, now, you know, part of it, though, is it's got to be, you said, nonprofit, and it's got to meet certain codes, I imagine.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Basically, it is a medical facility. There is not as many restrictions because we do not dispense narcotics, pharmaceuticals, things like that.
Narcotics.
Excuse me, that was a misterm, and it's been misdirected, you know. I mean, uh-huh. as an advocate for it, I do not think of it as a narcotic.
It is a hallucinogenic, though, isn't it? Isn't it?
No.
No, sir.
You know, it's actually, cannabis is one of the very few controlled substances out there that doesn't have an OD rate. You know, you can't smoke yourself into the hospital. It just isn't going to happen. You can drink yourself there. You can do coke there. I mean, you can get there quite a different an array of assortment of ways. But it does
obviously impair judgment.
Well, and then again, we're not going to be out there driving, using tractors, forklifts, and things like that.
You can't say that. But, I mean, because maybe you won't, but there's too many other people out there that perhaps do. Okay, like we got to take a break here. And, you know, of course, I'm not here to beat you up, but one of the things we did talk about with Walt and Alan was that I was going to bring up these other things and, you know, these other points of view. You know, when you're, because you're doing something that is legal, yet it's got people probably a little edgy.
Absolutely.
So this is one of the reasons, again, we have people on here that may be a little bit different, so we can talk about these. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400, KQMS. Our phone line's here, 221-1402. So they just gave that license back to the doctor that would destroy the whole medical center here? Okay. Hey, John, good morning.
Yes, is the fellow there that has the marijuana store, is he on the air?
Yes, he is.
Oh,
hey, we're discussing this. So
I'd like to know if marijuana smoke is bad for infant kids.
Well, you know, I would have to say yes, any type of smoke.
No, not any type of smoke. Cigarette smoke isn't permanent like marijuana smoke.
Is okay. Now you're talking about secondhand smoke that can harm people, but you're saying it doesn't stay in their lungs.
It stays in it does damage to an infant for years.
Right. That's cigarette smoke and marijuana smoke, obviously.
Well, cigarette smoke doesn't, but marijuana smoke stays. It does damage to the infant for years.
Well, you know, I see what you're saying. I think. This is just me.
What it does, it slows the motor down in the brain if they get assumed with marijuana smoke under the age of 5 years old.
Well, I've read that, too. And I also have read that, you know, anybody that smokes around an infant or while they're pregnant is going to cause damage to the children.
Right.
Right. And so what are the long-term effects is what you're saying on children and adults?
Marijuana smoke.
Right, of marijuana smoke.
Well, adults, it doesn't hurt them very much. Your brain's already developed.
I've got studies here, and we were going to talk about this, in the effect that there are studies that show that smoking marijuana could have long-term effects. Just like smoking cigarettes could have long-term effects on people, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but marijuana smoke around infants does internal damage and... that's the reason why they should never legalize it.
Well, let's let Walt answer this and let him give the other side. John, thank you so much for your phone call, because yes, I've heard that too.
My reply to this would be, being a single father, is I've raised my child by myself since he was 3.5 months old, and I did not allow him to be in any kind of situation. I protect my child, and I believe that most parents out there wouldn't want them. I mean, there are situations like smoky cars and stuff. Your cigarette smoke, marijuana smoke, it's all going to be detrimental to your child. And I believe in the right circumstances, and we're talking here today about medical, that means that you're going to be respectful to others, and you're going to only use it in appropriate situations. If you're driving down the street with your kids in your car, well, that wouldn't be correct now.
Well, anytime that'd be like drinking a beer driving down the street. I mean, that's
absolutely.
But that's wrong. But I think what some studies are showing is that marijuana can have a long-term cognitive effect on your brain and your lungs, this.
And they are getting more and more studies out there, and in new studies, and particularly like old studies, like the Nixon administration, they had their own unprecedented team of people do studies on the medical cannabis. They actually came back and said that they would like to deregulate it, that there was little or no harm in the effect other than, you know, the short-term effects.
Well, you know, again, these are, you know, you can pick and choose on this one. But hey, Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning. I have some problems with this claim that it's not a hallucinatory. In 1970, I tried marijuana twice, and I'm telling you, it's a hallucinatory. And we were so in love with the yellow line in the middle of the road that we didn't even realize we were coming to the end of a T and came within an inch of a telephone pole, all because of the influence of the marijuana that we had smoked. It is a hallucinatory, and it can be dangerous.
Yes, ma'am. You know, if I had a six-pack of beer and drove, I would probably have the same problems.
Right, and if people refrain from drinking and driving, no, they have not. Why would they be any different with marijuana?
Well, you know, society does have its drawbacks, but I believe that most of us are intelligent enough and grown up enough at this point in time to go ahead and open up other avenues and allow people. I mean, this is America, isn't it? Don't we have a freedom of choice, not only as a medical part, but this is...
You don't have a freedom to put people at risk. We could have hit somebody else that night.
You know, and Cheryl, you're right. You know, but I look at it, you know, and we're going to be discussing this more, see, so what you're saying is why legalize something else that could also be harmful?
You bet.
Okay, Cheryl, thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you.
Okay, phone lines are lit up at 221-1402. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to discuss that. But we're also going to talk about how, you know, you just don't walk in the store, do you, Walt, and say, hey, I'd like to have a joint.
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about, you know, this legalization process that's being brought on and, you know, problems with that, too. This is Carl Lindabad here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. You know, every so often I have been known to misspeak. I know it's hard to believe, but yesterday I did it, and I have been hearing about it from so many people. Thank you very, very much, Boo, and our favorite English teachers out there getting me. I was writing, you know, and I write up, you know, some things we're going to talk about, and then when I look down at them, I I just read what I write, and it's wrong. So the word is hyperbole, not hyperbole. It's hyperbole. And I used it correctly. I just didn't say the word right. So all of you people out there, get off my back. You know, you stand here in front of the mic and make a perfect statement every time. I'm lucky if I can make a perfect statement every other time. Oh, thanks a lot. You know what? I need to be kept in line. All right. I'm here with Walt Carney and Alan Perry, who are the owners of the River Valley Collective, which just happens to be a, quote, nonprofit organization that dispenses medical marijuana. Now let's go to the phones here. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Ed.
My main comment on this subject is legalize it, tax it, and regulate it. And I think the alcohol analogy is good that your other caller had, but she was entirely wrong about it. Because like alcohol, marijuana has medicinal and recreational uses. Prohibition clearly doesn't work. And what I find most objectionable to your guest business, I haven't been in your business, but the business in general, is that you're taking a product that costs literally pennies an ounce to produce and selling it for hundreds of dollars an ounce. And all of that money is going to kind of a nebulous, semi-legal organization of people, while... Because there are costs to abuse of drugs, it ought to go to the state in the form of taxes. There's excess value.
You know, that's a really good point. Alan?
Well, actually, it costs a lot more than just pennies to the dollar to produce
them.
Well,
it wouldn't if it were illegal and we're going in a field in Sacramento next to the tomatoes. I hate to tell you.
That absolutely, I believe, is true. But we're talking about, like, right now.
Yeah, that would actually probably be the hemp side of it.
Right well, then, there, the and I've fields. Read, yeah, and I've read that that would drop the price from whatever it is for whatever it is,
and that would be a problem. And we need a government taxation program to keep it. Otherwise, you know, if it was virtually free, you probably would have more problems with abuse.
Well, cannabis is the largest cash crop for California. You're talking about $14 billion in sales last year.
But it's only that because the semi-legal system keeps the price very high.
In September of 2010, the Regulate, Control, and Tax Cannabis Act will be voted upon between the Californians to basically tax it and bring the money. Who knows where it goes when it goes to Sacramento? We want to bring it to Shasta County, to Oakland County, to the counties that really need it for their schools, their sheriffs, stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I don't know the specifics of the bill. In principle, I'd support it. But I just want to throw a quick historic story. You know, a lot of people attack. They call Joe Kennedy, President Kennedy's father, a bootlegger. He made a fortune in the medicinal alcohol trade during the Depression. Apparently he had the franchise to sell alcohol, which was prescribed through pharmacies at the time, at a very high price, not unlike the marijuana situation now. And all I'm saying is, when you prohibit a drug like this that is going, this has been abused for, used and abused. I think there are legitimate medicinal uses for marijuana, but for a century, the idea that we're going to half legalize it or half regulate it or discriminate between medicinal and recreational use like this is kind of a fallacy for a drug that is so cheaply, easily produced and distributed.
You know, I've always thought that if they do it, then so we could have the prisons grow it, so we can also teach the prisoners a new trade, and it won't cost anything. Anyway, hey, you know, really good points, Ed. Thank you so much.
Take care.
You bet. Lance, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're just sitting here enjoying life here. They're enjoying it obviously more than I am, though, right now.
Well, thank you.
I got a question for your guests on how to handle a particular situation. Last Sunday, I was shopping in one of our local supermarkets with my kids, my 6-year-old and 8-year-old, and we walk out to put our groceries away. And there's this guy sitting in the car just choking away, and his smoke's rolling out of his car. He's sitting behind the steering wheel of the car, you know, and basically give him a, hey, you know, do you mind? I got my kids here. And he's, you know, hey, I got a script, you know. How do you suggest we handle something like that with our children that are present?
Well, obviously, you know, cannabis is not to be smoked in public areas, just like alcohol is not to be drank in public areas. You know, that's something that the public needs to address, is that this is something that's supposed to be used in the privacy of your own home, not in a parking lot.
Okay, now that's a great question, Lance, because that was one of the questions I was going to ask. And, you know, if you've got a prescription for it, just like you would any other, you know, medicine, why can't you smoke it on the street? Is it against the law?
Well, actually, right now, don't quote me on this, but I believe that there's actually no law permitting cannabis to be smoked. If you could smoke a cigarette, I could smoke my cannabis there. That's something that the tax regulates, going to regulate where you can smoke
so,
this at.
You're right, Lance. Plus, the other thing that's a little scary to me is if he's smoking behind the wheel of his car, I don't care if he's got a prescription or not. And both Walt and Alan here are shaking their heads, yes, is that that means he's going to drive that car.
Yeah, but
exactly. And that was my point. You know, should I treat it like a guy sitting there drinking a 40?
No.
You know, do I notify the authorities to help protect, you know, my family and everybody else's family on the street, or, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, it's something that you hear about in the news constantly is, you know, alcohol, DUI. You don't hear in the news about someone getting pulled over because they're too loaded to drive their car.
Let me jump on this. I disagree with what you're saying here. Lance, you're absolutely right. You see somebody smoking marijuana or taking meth or anything, yes, you do call the police.
Correct.
It doesn't make any difference if he has a prescription.
Absolutely.
Because he's abusing his ability, you know, he's abusing it because he's going to drive and he is going to be impaired. So,
exactly.
I would have called right then and said, I don't care if you got a prescription or not, partner.
Yeah, and if I see somebody, you know, weaving back and forth, and we've all been there trying to go to the movies with our family, seeing the car in front of us weaving back and forth, you know the guy's had a few too many. I mean, what do you do in that situation? We're all trying to be safe out there. I mean, most of the people out there are responsible, but, you know, you're going to have that few on the other side of the wall, that whether they're drinking or smoking.
Whether you have a glass of wine or a fifth of cheap wine when you drink. You know, I mean, there's a big difference. Yeah. Of course, I mean, drinking cheap wine is okay, but not all at one time. Hey, Lance, thanks so much for your phone call. That was a real good point, sir.
Awesome.
Hey, Edith, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Edith, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
You're sounding great today, Edith.
Thank you.
We have some tickets for you.
Thank you. Okay. I can't wait.
All right.
We will be there.
Better. So,
my main thing is that we have a friend of ours that was treated for cancer, and they were told they could take all these pills, and it may, you know, make it so they don't want to eat. It's going to make them sick. It's going to make them that. And she had never, ever even thought of trying marijuana. And her son brought some home and said, look, Mom, I've heard this helps. And she did. And she is alive today because it kept her eating and kept her from losing the weight. It also kept her from taking all the medications for the pain that would have killed every other part of her body. So I do believe there are good medicinal causes for it. I do believe there are people out there that abuse it. And it's just like alcohol or any other drug that if you do not know how, I mean, you can't even drive under Vicodin.
Oh, absolutely. And I agree with.
So if you're saying that, you know, I don't know. I mean, everybody I know that I've ever ridden with that was high stopped at green light. You know, they're overprotective and they move slower. So it's like,
just get out of their way.
And why is Frosty nodding his head up and down? I'm not sure.
No, anyway, but I just, that's my opinion on it. I feel there is good when it's used for good, but I do know I was told by my doctor that smoking cigarettes in the house causes ear infection in children.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great point, ma'am.
And so there's a lot of things that go good and bad. So, but there's my opinion on it, and I think that if it were me, I'd rather smoke a joint than ruin my liver.
Okay. Thanks,
Edith. Talk to you later.
Okay. You know, these are my friends. It's all coming around me here. Okay, this is Carl and Linda Bott. We've got to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about just how easy it is to walk in the store, and we haven't gotten to that yet. And the phone lines are lit up, 221-1402. Newstalk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. I think this is probably a subject people are interested in. Okay, hey, Walt, can I just walk down to your store and get a joint?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, I mean, there are quite a few loopholes to go through to do this, and I believe my partner, Alan Perry, would be better apt to answer that question.
Okay.
What do you think, Alan?
Well, you need to go to your doctor, and first, you know, he has to be a board-certified physician, obviously, and you're going to talk to him about, you know, why you need cannabis, and if he agrees that it is something that's going to help you out, then he's going to write you a prescription for it. Every county has their regulations and their limits, obviously, and you would have your prescription and your, you know, California ID. You come down to us at that point, present both of them to us. You know, we ask for the original document, and we call your doctor to verify it, and then once that's said and done...
What if you can't reach my doctor?
And then we will contact you another day. You would be on your way to go home or finish your day off, and, you know, once it's verified, then we'll call you back. And we're not allowed to do anything, you know, with the cannabis until we verify that.
Okay, so it's not just a doctor's prescription, then you have to verify it that day. Delana?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
The first thing I'd like to say is that, you know, the people that are opposed to this, whether it's medical or recreational, to do your research. Don't just go because you smoked a joint one day in the 70s and you followed a yellow line, you know. Really do some research on it, you know, because this really has helped millions and millions of people who are sick and ailing. And you don't see, you know, from personal experience, I work with abused children. People aren't getting stoned and, like, you know, shaking their babies to death. They're not, you know, beating their wives. They're not, you know, doing any number of things you hear about from other drugs, you know. So even if it was recreational use only, it's a very mellow, mellow thing, and you just don't hear about people going crazy on it and hurting people.
Why, if they legalize it, are they putting so much money into the program to help people get off marijuana and to get into drug avoidance programs?
You know, I don't really know of any huge support groups for getting people off marijuana. I know there's a lot of, you know, programs like AA and NA and, you know, for Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous, obviously.
Yeah, but
I don't know of anybody that's actually ever been addicted to marijuana, and there's research to prove that as well.
But there is.
It's not an addictive drug, and it's not a hallucination, you know, type of thing.
Yeah, I understand that, but there is in the programs, and they're talking about legalization, is part of the money is set aside to help people stop using marijuana, just like they stop using alcohol or stop gambling or stop smoking. So there must be a reason for that.
Well, I think it might just be, I really don't know why they would need that, because
it's so good for you.
There might be half of 1% of people that, for some reason, get psychologically addicted to it, just like they get psychologically addicted to cigarettes. And not only that, but chemically dependent on cigarettes. But you don't get chemically dependent on marijuana. You can be psychologically addicted to it, just like you could be psychologically addicted to biting your fingernails or anything
else.
That's
right. So there can be an addiction to it then.
It wouldn't be a physical thing, you know, like to where, you know, you were going to go into DTs if you couldn't get your next hit of pot. But it could just be your mind saying that, you know, geez, I'd really like to get stoned right now.
Okay.
Or whatever, you know.
Hey, Delana, we've got the lines filled up, as you can imagine. Hey, thank you so much for your phone call.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Daniel, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I was wanted to comment about that fellow who saw that guy smoking a joint in the car and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it might be good that you call the police on him, you know? But we need to also say, like the Vicodin says, don't operate machinery, and the Oxycontin and everything else, that most of these people walking around complaining about pot are on. or pain or whatever, right?
Absolutely.
You ought to see every time we see them take a pill, we need to chase the cops down on those people, too.
Well, you know what? You'll never hear me disagree with the fact anybody that abuses any type of substance that alters your mind in any way should never be driving. I don't
care. Not talking about abusing. When you take this medicine, it doesn't make you drowsy. Yeah. Don't operate machinery. So you're taking it under the accordances, but it still says don't operate machinery, and that's a car. So every time you see someone take a pill, if they sneak it out of their pocket or something for their back pain or whatever, go ahead and stick the cops on those people, too. Let's just be a complete big brother society, and let's just tell on everybody for everything.
Anybody that's smoking marijuana sitting behind the wheel of their car or drinking sitting behind the wheel of their car, to me, it alters your ability to drive. And, yeah, I am going to call. You know, or
so
I am going to have something because
then,
he's
know,
on
it. Shop is there. They're going to get in their car and take their groceries home. Tell on them, too.
Well, and, you know, it's... I listen to several programs, including yours, Carl, and, you know, most of these pharmaceuticals are opiates, so you might as well say that all these people that are against our act are on opium, because that's what the pharmaceutical companies derive most of these pain relievers and things from.
You know, we got to take a break, but, you know, one thing you did say, Daniel, that I'm really strong agreement with is Big Brother getting in our business. I hate that. So, hey, thanks a lot for your phone call. Yeah, thanks a lot, Daniel. Hey, look, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. You know, I really miss Linda being here because she'd be right in the middle of this one. This is News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, we've only got like about 5 minutes, so let's keep it real quick here. Bill, thanks for waiting.
Okay, Carl, I'll be real quick. I was in drug and alcohol rehab for about 6 years. I worked in it. And you could get them, some of them to commit to getting off the alcohol and some off the drugs. But they never, ever want to let go of that marijuana. You know, so for them to say it's not habit forming, it's not this or that, and it does, it slows your pace down. In other words, you don't really care what's going around you like you would if you didn't smoke the marijuana. And the gals saying they don't abuse their kids and all, but, well, maybe partially that's true. But their kids might wander off out in the street and get run over because they forgot they had kids.
Well, you know, again, you're talking about the abuse, but that's a real good point, Bill. Let me get your answer on the air here.
Well, you know, something I might think about is through those drug and alcohol classes, maybe the reason people aren't letting go of it as easily as others is because they need it. It's a medicine for them. They need it for their bones. They need it to sleep, like the cancer patients and the AIDS patients. They need it to eat to stay semi-healthy. You know, that's something you should think about. Alcohol, realistically, you don't need alcohol. That is a complete leisure thing. There's nothing been proven to say, hey, alcohol is going to help me eat.
Yeah, okay, and I understand that, Alan, but I also understand this, is that, you know, some people become so psychologically addicted to it, you know, that they don't need it to eat. You know, I'm not talking about the medicinal side, because I think that's been proven, you know, most of the ways that medicinally, yeah. But what Bill is saying is that if you get high on anything, you can have problems here. Your kid can walk out in the street, but just as they would if they drank a six-pack of beer.
And there are a lot of bad parents out there. Let's face it. We need to step up. We need to take care of our children and take responsibility for that, whether we're doing anything, beer, cannabis, no matter what the situation. Let's step forward and take care of our kids first, huh?
Randall, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you doing, sir?
Well, you know, we got 3 minutes left. It's quite the subject, huh?
Okay. I experienced tremendous back pain since I've been 26. I come up here. I got hooked on methadone from a doctor, and pot allowed me to get off of it.
Uh-huh.
And it helped me with my pain a lot, too. But another topic, cancer runs like wildfire through our family, and Marinol doesn't work. So the pot was able to help my aunt eat and help her live longer. So.
Absolutely, sir. And I had actually lost my father when I was very young.
Yeah.
I saw him go from a very virile, large individual, healthy, to not being able to eat the chemos, the medicines, the pharmaceuticals. You know, if this was allowed back then, I wouldn't have been able to see my 12-year-old sister lift my father off the bed so my mother could change his sheets.
I voted for it in 96 on Prop 215. Was simply a market supply demand. If prohibition doesn't work, if you grow a vast amount of it, just drive it down to zero, empty the prison, save taxpayer money, And essentially, that's what I thought. And I come across some writings of George Washington. He recommended growing a tablespoon of it every year. And he was cranking out 11,000 gallons of whiskey at Mount Vernon.
Most of you probably don't, Randall was the very first caller we ever had. And Randall is a stand-up guy that you don't want to mix it up with him. So, hey, Randall, thanks a lot.
Thanks,
yay
buddy.
For Randall.
Okay, bye.
John, we've got 30 seconds and we
got
to go.
Got you, Carl. I understand. Terms are important. It is not addictive. It's habitual. Moderation in all things. Contraindicators exist in all pharmaceutical products, including pot. Don't drive or operate machinery after you use it. Pricing is consistent with drug company concepts. And finally, just off the subject for a minute, the White House page that Hannity was talking about, he's the one that needs to be reported on it. I'm off. Have a good day.
Okay, I don't even know what you're talking about for Hannity, but hey, Scott, and who's our next caller, sorry we didn't get to you, but we have just run out of time. Walt Carney and Alan Perry from the River Valley Collective. Now, this is something we're going to be talking about in our Free Fire Lunch with Free Fire Radio, and it's going to be something we're going to be starting in September. It's going to be a community forum. We can talk a lot longer about these. Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?